It's been really impressive to watch the Lions this week. They're really a good football team, do a good job in all three phases of the game. Good in the kicking game, really explosive on offense, got great skill players. And I think their statistical accomplishments on defense kind of speak for themselves. I mean, they're really at the top of the league in everything, points, yards, run defense, leads over in time possession, turnovers, red area, third down, pass defense, you name it. So very dominant and disruptive there. So we're going to need to play a good complementary game all the way across the board. It's no real weak points. A lot of things we're going to have to deal with. So, it's a team that we don't obviously know very well. So we're going to have to really work hard this week to get on top of them, get familiar with them. But they present a lot of problems. And been a lot of close games, been a lot of tough situations. I think they're, mentally tough, kind of, resilient team. They've shown that. So that'll be a big challenge for us to match that toughness and competitiveness, too. So it's a good football team coming in here.
Is there someone comparable to Sue in terms of size, skill set, what he does? Did you see him over the course of the career?
Yeah, he's pretty dominant. He can do it all. And his effort, plays he makes from behind and chase, like on screen plays and hustling downfield, backside plays, in addition to all this point of attack and pass rushes and disruptive plays. The guy gets double teamed a lot. Still productive. He's really good. They move around and make it a little bit difficult to know exactly where he's going to be. I mean, you have a pretty good idea, but they do enough to and do enough other things with their front to give him opportunities to make plays, and he takes advantage of them. He's really good, and that's a very good front they have. He's the marquee guy, but there's they have a lot of good players on that front. They roll them all through. They all play. They rotate frequently, and they're fresh and they're active, very disruptive.
Bill, are there certain wide receivers where normal defensive protocols won't work, and is Calvin Johnson one of them?
Yeah, he's a really hard guy to defend because of his size and his catching radius. He's always open, even when he's covered. And there's always a place to put the ball where he can catch it. So he's got a great skill set. Obviously, a great downfield receiver, big target on the intermediate routes, and hard guy to tackle. On the first level. So he's got great production, tremendous, historical. So he's a big threat.
What do their linebackers complement what they're able to do on the defensive line?
Levy's really there. I mean, he's a really productive guy for him. There's a little bit of rotation there with the other guys, but, Levy's on the field pretty much every play, fast, very instinctive. Does a great job of taking advantage of the penetration that their defensive line gets and fits on the ball well, makes a lot of plays in the running game, but he does an excellent job in pursuit, plays to the perimeter, he can go sideline to sideline. He's got really good speed, range, very instinctive player. So he does a great job of, taking advantage of those plays. Whitehead's a solid guy. He shows up in the kicking game as well. I mean, you can see how well he runs. He's our guy to block too, with his speed and his range. But I mean, Levy's really, really impressive.
How's Ebron complementing that
experience? That whole group's kind of been in flux a little bit. But good receiving skills, big target, runs well. Excellent in the passing game. Fourier, is another dangerous guy there. Pettigrew really can, do it all, play all the spots. They use him more as the Y, a little bit more as the blocker with those other guys, but he's very capable too. So they have great talent at tight end, receiver, and running back, and quarterback, all their skill positions offensively are good, and they have good depth.
You guys were really good on third down the other night. I'm just wondering, sort of obvious, but just how important is it to not have negative plays? I think Tom said the other day it felt like you guys really didn't have any negative plays on offense, and it made things easier.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier to convert the shorter yardage ones than the longer yards. So that'll be key against these guys. These guys do a great job on first down. They create more negative runs than any other team in the league. So they get teams in a lot of second and third and long situations. And those are usually not only very difficult, but that's also where, they get some turnovers too with strip sacks and tip balls and interceptions and, stuff like that. So it just makes it even harder to not only convert, but even at some point protect the ball. So, yeah, we got to have to do a good job of staying out of those long yardage situations. But they create a lot of them, so that'll be a big challenge for us.
When you face a defense that you said does so well on first down against the run, do you strategize to change up what you do, or do you just have to have faith in the system, especially coming off of the type of week you just had on the ground?
Well, last week doesn't mean anything, so I don't really care about that. That has no impact on the game. What we have to do is figure out how to play against Detroit, and it's hard. They're good at everything. They're good against the run. They're good against the pass. They turn the ball over. Like I said, they're good on third down. They're good in the red area. They create a lot of negative plays. So, whatever we do, we're going to have to do a good job of it, and everybody's going to have to do a good job. It's not – you just can't pick out one guy or one thing. We're going to have to do a good job all the way across the board. They've played against a lot of good offenses, and they've – best team in the league. Points, yards, you name it. However you want to look at it, they do a good job. No big plays, fewer big plays than any other team has given up in the league. So they're doing a lot of things well.
Having seen the Lions multiple times over the last few years with Jim Schwartz, how has Caldwell sort of put his stamp on that team?
Well, defensively, I think there's some carryover from previous years with Gunther Cunningham. But, Austin's come in and put his, version of the Baltimore defense. He's obviously brought some things with him, certainly from a coverage standpoint. That's obvious. But there's some things that they do that I'd say have some carryover from what they've done previously when Gunther and was the coordinator, when Jim was there, however you want to look at it. Offensively, there's still a combination of, three receivers or, two tight ends and two receivers, but that other tight end is kind of a receiver too. So, there's a lot of elements of three real good pass catchers in the game, however you want to characterize the personnel, which is kind of what they were before. But obviously with Coach Lombardi, they've had a big element of the New Orleans attack, the vertical passing game, catch and run plays, Reggie Bush, the running back plays, that kind of trademark of New Orleans type offense, as well as Caldwell's, some of his stuff from that we've seen from Indianapolis or even when he was at Baltimore. So I think there's a little bit of a merger there, and then the kicking game, Bonamigo was there last year, so there's a lot of carryover from what they did in 2013 in the kicking game, but they're very aggressive there. Ross has done a great job for him in the return game. He's a hard guy to handle. They're an aggressive team. They're a good coverage team. They got a good combination of speed and size out there on their coverage units. So, they're good in all three phases of the game. But I'd say, Caldwell certainly has brought in his, his philosophy and his – some of the things that he wants, but, I'd say Austin from Baltimore and Marciano from New Orleans have also had some influence on their respective sides of the ball.
You mentioned the three receivers. Golden Tate has had a terrific year, and even when Calvin Johnson went down, it didn't seem like they missed too much when he stepped into the role of quote-unquote number one receiver. Has he been?
It's good. Tate's, yeah. Yeah, he's a very good player. He's a good vertical threat. He's fast and get behind the defense. He's made a lot of big plays on catch and run plays with his, you know, his good running skill. He's strong. He's a hard guy to bring down, and he's fast. So if he gets a little space, he can, you know, he can outrun guys. Like in the New Orleans game, you know, he took a 10-yard pass out in the flat and broke a couple tackles on 75 yards. So he's a very explosive guy, but he can beat you a lot of different ways. He can beat you on the catch and run plays. He can runs good intermediate routes, and he's you can take the top off the defense too. So. You know, he's a hard guy to defend. He's done a good job for him.
Well, it seems like you know, a lot of quarterbacks obviously can keep plays alive with their feet, but with Stafford, it seems like at the end of the Miami game,
every game, different
arm angles.
Yeah, you go back to the Giants game, first game of the year. You know, scrambled out there, hit Johnson on a 60-yard touchdown. So yeah, we've seen that before. He's very good. And he's not the guy that's probably going to rush for 100 yards, but he certainly can keep plays alive. He scrambles on third down in the red area in critical situations, and he does a good job of avoiding the rush, sliding in the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield. He makes a lot of plays on extended plays after he gets a little more time, finds an open receiver. You know, so we're going to have to do a good job with our pass rush, containing him, not letting him extend plays, but he adds another element to that too. You have him covered, and then he breaks loose, and then they uncover, and there's another big play. So it's all the above.
Does he have a lot of different arm angles that he throws from?
He's got a good arm. I mean, he can. Yeah, I think he can pretty much get the ball where he needs to get it. I don't think that's a problem. But he's has good vision in the pocket, good feel in the pocket, and then good vision downfield when he's. When he's moving around in there, he gets his eyes downfield, finds open receivers, and you know, he does a good job. Knows where his people are, and you know whether it's Bush or you know Riddick or you know whoever you know on checkdowns and those kind of things, and getting the ball to them or finding the you know Tate or Johnson or Ross or one of those guys down the field.
Are obviously pretty familiar with, and James Ahedebo has got a pretty big role, looks like, for them. How important has he been to the back end of their
game? He's done a good job for him. I think he and Quinn, you know, give him a good safety combination. You know, Quinn's kind of more in the free safety mold. Ahedebo, a little more in the strong safety mold. You know, James is a very instinctive player. He's smart. He reads pass patterns well. He does a good job in the running game of, you know, fitting in the right spot. Obviously, experience within the Baltimore system that, you know, with Austin. And looks like he's a little bit of a, you know, we know he's a smart guy, so I'm sure he's a little bit of a quarterback back there on defense in terms of, you know, adjustments and communication. But, yeah, smart, instinctive player in a passing game, you know, guy who's a good run force player, smart football player, good size. Done a good job for him. I mean, both those safeties have played well. And they use a lot of different combinations back there, too. But those two guys are usually on the field. I mean, Ahedebo was hurt for three games or whatever it was. But once he came back, those two guys are usually out there. But sometimes they play three safety packages. You know, so they move those guys around a little bit, too.
Coached a lot of players, Bill. Where, I'm wondering, does Rob Gronkowski rank strictly on the loves the game of football list?
I don't know, but he does. Yeah, I put him up there. Yeah.
There's a team that runs a lot of trick plays. I think Detroit's run their share, yeah. Especially on special teams. How much does that just add to the workload? That you guys have to do in preparing for that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, similar to last week. We can't relax for a second. You know, you just can't be out of position, onside kicks, fake punts, you know, fake field goals. They change up their kickoff coverage a lot. Different looks on that. You know, teams have obviously had trouble with it, and, you know, you have free guys running down there to the 15, 10-yard line on block because the return team can't get it blocked properly. You know, so you've got to You've got to be alert for those kind of plays, but at the same time, not let it take away from your aggressiveness in the kicking game. You know, you just can't stand there and, you know, watch the game and hope nothing bad happens. I mean, you got to be aggressive and go make plays, but, you know, being alert for things like that, that they do, and they you know, shown throughout the course of the year. Yeah, we got it's definitely part of the preparation, part of the problem of playing them.
That was negated. Did you think that Jeremy Ross play was about as heads up as you can have on special teams?
Yeah, no, it was the, you know, type of thing that yeah, I mean, it's obviously it was a, you know, a close call on the play, but yeah. But, you know, Ross is an aggressive guy. He'll take the ball, but that was a situation where he had an opportunity to do it. He did it, and, you know, turned into a big play. I mean, they ruled it differently, but that's, I mean, he plays like that. I mean, you give him space, or, you know, ball's rolling around and you're not right on top of him, and he'll pick it up and go. And he's a strong runner. He breaks tackles, and he's got good speed, but, you know, good size, strong runner, doesn't run out of bounds, plays, you know, makes you tackle him, and he breaks a lot of tackles. He's good, does a good job.
Bill, what was it about Jonas Gray this past summer that made you guys want to keep him around? And is it especially gratifying?
It's not. I mean, look, everybody here earns their spot, so that's what it is. Everybody gets an opportunity to compete, and the guys that earn it, and the guys that don't lose out to somebody who's earned it. I mean, there's no magic to it.
What did he do more specifically? What did you see from him?
Earn what? I mean, he was on the practice squad. What are you talking about? He was in training camp and he was on the practice squad.
Right.
So how did he get to the practice squad? Is that the question or what?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, you were at the preseason games. He ran well in preseason.
Is it especially gratifying to see a player like that who wasn't exactly highly touted have such a breakout performance for you?
Look, I'm happy when any of our players and all of our players play good. Like, that's what they're all here for. They all are here to work hard, to get better, to help the team, and to perform well when they get an opportunity. So that's all 46 players that are active, all 53 players on the roster, all players that are on the practice squad. That's what we're here. We're here to help everybody. We're here to help everybody perform at their best. They're here to work hard and do their best. It's great when that happens. Feel good about that for everybody, whoever the person is. They all deserve it. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Got a question?
Nate, Bill, they have a couple guys, we probably asked you this before in different games, but sort of a general, when there are players that are injured for an opposing team, I know like Farrelly and Bush have been banged up, do you still have to prepare for those guys, like, as if they're
going
to play?
Yeah, sure. I mean, until they're out, you got to prepare for them, you bet. Yeah. Went through that last week with Charles, you know. Didn't look like he was going to play, didn't practice, you know, questionable for the game, whatever it was, and played the whole game. So, you know, and sometimes it goes the other way. And again, you know, being on the other side of that, I mean, there's guys that, honestly, we don't know if they're going to play till game time. So, you know, how could they know? We don't even know, and vice versa. So, yeah, if they're on the roster, if they're active, you got to prepare for them. And just because the guy's not the starter, one play into the game, he could be playing. So you got to know who all those players are too, because one play, one sprained ankle, one equipment problem, and the next guy's in there. You got to know who that is. So we have to prepare for everybody that's on the active roster. You know, we cross some guys off day of the game once we get the inactive list, but then the guys that are left, you know, we have to know all those players and all their potential roles and matchup situations. I mean, that's just part of the preparation. And honestly, you know, where there's an obvious injury situation, you know, we go through the practice squad players, so they don't have to give us any notification on that. They can activate those guys, you know, as late as 4 p.m. Saturday. So it's not like signing somebody up from the outside and bringing them on the roster. I mean, that's a move that obviously, you know, you would see and they would need to do most likely a few days before the game in order to get the guy ready. But you could bring a guy up on the practice squad on Saturday and play him. And that's not really the kind of thing you want to be talking about, you know, 10 minutes before the game. You know, who's this guy? What does he do? Is he fast? Is he this? Is he that? You know, that's part of, okay, they got a couple injuries at this position. Okay, who's on the practice squad? Who could they bring up to play on offense or defense? Or who would they bring up to play in the kicking game? Which a lot of times is where the practice squad guys factor in first, is on special teams. So that's all part of it, too. I mean, we go through that every week of who do they have available, you know, which includes even the practice squad players. Yeah, sure. We don't eliminate them until they're out.
With Fairley in particular, how does he impact what they do on the defensive line?
You know, I don't think he changes their scheme a lot. I don't think it's a situation where when he's there, like they have a whole bunch of different defenses, and then when he's not there, they have, you know, it's not that. They do what they do, but, I mean, you know, he's a good player. He's very active. He's got great quickness and explosion. Got good playing strength. He's a productive player for him, and it's just another guy in the rotation. So, you know, but they've gotten good production out of, you know, all those guys, Jones inside, Reed, Mosley. You know, they've used multiple guys in there, and he would just be another good one. So, but again, we'll, until any of those guys are definitely out, then we have to be ready for them. Okay. All right. Thank you.